This is our State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine, and you're tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, October the 7th. We're going to get a roundup of some of the top stories in state government during this first half of our State Capitol Report with Gilman Halstead, who is Wisconsin Public Radio's criminal justice reporter, but who has also been covering some other political issues. Then stay with us. Coming up after 7:30, we will talk with a guest who wants a statewide referendum on whether the U.S. Constitution should be amended to overturn the Citizens United decision regarding campaign contributions. There's also a rally planned for tomorrow at the state capitol to stop what critics are calling the next Citizens United. The U.S. Supreme Court is going to be hearing a case tomorrow on what is being called the next Citizens United. So we'll hear more about that coming up after 7:30. But joining us first, Gilman Halstead, Wisconsin Public Radio's criminal justice reporter. Hi, Gil.
Good morning, Joy.
Well, you know, you did not cover this story, but since it's in the news, just wanted to get a quick react to it from you. Former truck executive Mary Burke made it official today. This morning, she announced in a web video that she is running for the Democratic nomination to challenge Governor Scott Walker. The three-minute video emphasizes Burke's business background and Wisconsin roots, and it quotes her as saying, "Helping to turn my family's business into a global company has been a big part of my life. Now I'd like to help make our great state of Wisconsin even better as your governor." So is there any surprise, do you think, in political circles that she made that announcement?
No, I don't think there's any surprise. It's been being telegraphed for a long time, the Democratic Party doing polls on her popularity, reporting, quite a bit of reporting on the debate over whether or not how many candidates there are going to be and how it would be good or bad, as we just heard from Senator Vinehout, to have a primary. The news department's going to be jumping on that story this week, trying to find out more about the kind of campaign that Mary Burke is likely to run, and also waiting for new candidates to pop up for perhaps Senator Vinehout to announce.
If you just joined us, we did talk to State Senator Kathleen Vinehout in our last half hour talking about frac sand mining and the health concerns associated with it. But we did ask her if she was going to run, and Senator Vinehout said she is still weighing her options and would make a decision, I think she said, by the first of the year. So a lot of people anticipate that she will run, but she is not saying as of yet whether she will definitely run. She did also say that she thought a primary would be good for a potential Democratic contender in the race for governor. So more on that, I'm sure, in our newscast later on today and throughout the week. So, but speaking of the gubernatorial campaign, Gil, I know that you've been covering some of the issues that are going to be a part of that campaign, including Governor Walker's pledge that he was going to create 250,000 jobs in his first term. Is he still making that claim?
He definitely is, not giving up on it, and touting another success of his policies, saying that although we haven't created those 250,000 jobs, there are almost 12,000 new small businesses, some of them larger perhaps, that are now operating in Wisconsin, and he thinks that's the next step towards reaching his 250,000 job
goal. Even if every one of them started out with just two employees, 6 months from now, as we continue to make it easier for entrepreneurs and small business owners to grow, if each of those two employees at each of those businesses becomes four, and then maybe 6 months later those four become eight, and those eight become 16, and on down the line, you can see how we aggressively get on our path to help the people of the state create 250,000 new jobs.
So this is the math that he's proposing will lead to that goal. Those were comments that he made at the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce annual gathering at the Monona Convention Center in Madison this week. And obviously a very friendly audience there. And I think that that he really is optimistic about things continuing to grow.
Now, I know the state legislature is going to be taking up its fall agenda, and there's a package of like 7 or 8 bills that's going
right.
to help create jobs. So work starting on those bills even this week?
Yeah, I think that some of those are included coming up. A lot of them have to do with job training,
mm-hmm.
and there are some bills that will be heard on Wednesday relating to career and technical education incentive grants and a transitional job program. Basically, he's been talking a lot about this kind of approach now, insisting that there are ways to bridge what's known as the skills gap. There's going to be more and more focus on that. Employers who say that they have lots of work, but they can't seem to find the people who are qualified. So a lot of talk about boosting training both on the job and in the technical schools.
Well, speaking of jobs, let's talk about the one job of a former state representative, Scott Suter. Scott Suter, it was announced last week, would not take this appointment with the Public Service Commission. Instead, it was announced he was going to take on some lobbyist position with the Paper Council. Go ahead.
This is all fallout from the United Sportsman grant situation, where there was $500,000. A grant made to an organization to help promote hunter education in the state, and it turned out that it was a kind of no-bid grant that appears to have been kind of tailored for this particular organization that didn't have the right tax-exempt status, and it all sort of blew up in the face of the Walker administration, who withdrew the grant, and we've been talking about this for about a week, and Scott Suter, because of, I guess, the focus of attention on him, decided to step down from the Public Service Commission and find other work.
Yeah, so governor says that this has nothing to do with the questions surrounding that particular grant, but Democrats disagree. But in any case, is this all over and done with then?
Well, that part of it appears to be over and done with, except that there is going to be a bill proposed by the Democrats to prevent this kind of situation from happening again, so that such grants get vetted much more carefully and are more open when they are put out by the government in the future. So who are we going to hear from first?
I guess we can talk about, since you talked about that legislation, let's talk about that legislation.
Right. So this is Representative Barca, the Democrat, talking about the way he sees what happens, what happened and what needs to be done.
After this whole thing went through, they tried to pin it on, you know, the former majority leader, Scott Suter. It was all him. Then we find out yesterday that 17 Republicans signed a letter supporting this. It wasn't all Scott Suter. I mean, this is pervasive in the Republican side of the equation. We have a new bill now. Representative Nick Milroy has been a champion of this. You know, he wants to have complete open bidding, which is the way it should be from the first place.
Now, that was Representative Barca speaking on the Wisconsin Eye Program civil dialogue with Steve Walters late last week. And we also had Representative Voss on that same program trying to give a somewhat different spin on this and comparing the situation on this bid to things that happened under the Doyle administration and suggesting that Governor Walker really did the right thing in this case.
One governor, sweetheart deal, stick with it no matter what because there were political contributions made. The other side, you have somebody who says that was a political issue, he saw it was, immediately he cancels the contract. Two similar situations. One governor made a decision that was right politically for him, which is why Talgo ended up. The other governor made a decision which was right for Wisconsin, which was to cancel the contract.
Right, and so he's referring to this deal with the Spanish train company Talgo that opened up a business to build trains in Milwaukee, and there were suggestions that was kind of a sweetheart deal, as Representative Voss said, and so we're getting you know, what we would expect, different spins on what's going on here. I mean, Representative Voss is saying, look, it is over. And Representative Barca is saying, no, it's not. We got to make sure this doesn't happen again.
We are talking with Gilman Halstead. He is a Wisconsin Public Radio reporter. He is our criminal justice reporter, but also covers other issues pertaining to state politics. We will talk about a couple of criminal justice issues in just a moment as our state capitol report continues, including a bill that would increase the amount of money that would be reimbursed to someone who is wrongfully imprisoned. And we'll also talk about a bill that would place 17-year-olds back into the juvenile system. And we'll welcome your questions, your comments, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is our state capitol report. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Wisconsin Public Radio's criminal justice reporter, Gilman Halstead. And we are welcoming your questions, your reactions to some of the top stories in state government. We announced at the top of the show the news this morning that former Trek executive Mary Burke is making it official. She is a candidate for the 2014 gubernatorial race. She wants to challenge Governor Scott Walker. We also talked with Kathleen Vinehout on this program at 6:30, who reacted to that news and said that she is still weighing her options and will make a decision within the next couple of months. So if you want to react to that, that's fine too, at 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. But Gil, we've talked about that news, the jobs news, job of Scott Suter and that sportsman's grant. Now let's talk about a couple of other issues that you covered last week, starting with this bill that would increase the amount of money that the state would owe anyone who is wrongfully imprisoned?
Right. Well, actually, the bill that was heard was very specific to one person who was wrongfully convicted. But there was discussion at the hearing. There will be a hearing on a bill that would basically double the $25,000 maximum limit that the state now makes available, $5,000 per year for each year of wrongful conviction, to $50,000. That's going to be coming up soon, but this bill was just for the legislature to say we're going to give $90,000 to one of the most recent exonerees who spent 23 years in prison for a murder and rape that he did not commit. And I think there's really strong support for making sure that Robert Lee Stinson gets that money. His story is really a tragic one. And
what is that story?
Well, he was convicted of murdering and raping I think she was in her mid-60s, a woman who was actually in his neighborhood. And the conviction was based completely on, it sounds rather grotesque, but bite marks on the body of this woman. And there was no other evidence at all. That was the evidence on which he was convicted. And so years later, the Innocence Project really took a much closer look at that, got some more evidence, found out that the bite marks were not substantial at all, in that he has a tooth missing from the actual mark of the person who actually did the biting, and someone eventually confessed. That, I think, was a key point in it. And he was released after 23 years in prison, and he is slowly putting his life back together now. He's taking care of his mother, who is dying of cancer, and he'll be using the money to get a house, actually, so he can settle down with his girlfriend, who stuck with him through this whole 23 years.
Very sad. So what current state law says is if somebody like him is wrongfully imprisoned, that they're entitled to a maximum of $25,000.
Right, a maximum of $25,000. Now, of course, they can and often do file civil suit against the local governments or whoever others may have, the police who may have been involved in the wrongful conviction. But that costs money, in court to do that, and it's often very difficult to win those suits. And Wisconsin's compensation law provides much less money than even places like Texas, where I think it's between $80,000 and $100,000.
But in any case, this particular bill is very specific to this individual.
That's the one that was heard. Yeah.
And the bill is calling for this gentleman to be compensated $90,000.
Right, $90,000.
Yeah. So what was heard then?
Oh, well, Senator Gary. Goyke, Representative Gary Goyke, I'm sorry, I'm mixing that up with the other story. We heard from one of the Republican representatives who supports this bill, talking about the state wanting to apologize.
This bill does not provide justice to Mr. Stinson. This is a very small amount of money for that time that we as a state of Wisconsin can simply say, we're sorry. And I think it's important to say when you're wrong that you're sorry. And I think the state of Wisconsin is very sorry for what Mr. Stinson has gone through.
Yes, that was Representative Cuyenga, who is one of the authors of the bill, along with Senator Glenn Grothman. So it's a joint bill from both the Assembly and the Senate. And we also heard from the lawyer for Harold Lee Stinson, Robert Lee Stinson, who is at the Innocence Project. This is Byron Lichtstein.
Give some immediate assistance, increase the amount, provide for some other things besides just money, deal with health care, perhaps some assistance with housing right away.
And so he's speaking about this other bill that's coming up, that the fact that we are giving $90,000 to Robert Lee Stinson, having to do a special bill is an indication that the state should really be changing things and that this bill would provide both more money and assistance, because once someone who's an exoneree gets out, the Department of Corrections and the state have nothing to do with him. I mean, he'd actually be better off if he'd committed the crime, because people who are going through the reentry process get some assistance, but an exoneree gets nothing.
All right, let's talk about this bill that would put 17-year-olds back into the juvenile system. The way current state law is, most of the 17-year-olds mm-hmm. are automatically tried in adult court?
Yes, that is the case, although judges do have the ability to keep them in the juvenile system depending on the crime. But the way the law is written, it's basically they're encouraged to keep them in the adult system. Wisconsin's one of only 10 states that still treats 17-year-olds this way. And this particular bill would move Wisconsin out of that minority of states. And there is opposition to it from the Department of Justice, but there's very strong support, actually, from all sorts of other organizations that work with juveniles, who say that making this change, because studies show that 17-year-olds who go into the adult system are much more likely to recommit crimes as adults and end up in prison. And this is a point that Representative Gary Goyke of Milwaukee made during the hearing on the bill last week.
And you just misspoke. This is Evan Goyke.
Evan Goyke, sorry.
Yeah, this is the son, I think, of
right.
Gary Goyke. So
right.
Here, let's take a listen.
We have to give the very best and most effective options for that young person so that they don't become career criminals, they don't become more statistics, and so that we're not stuck paying for them or paying their prison cell for the rest of their life.
But there's concern about paying, actually, because if these juveniles are moved back into the juvenile system, the 17-year-olds, the counties will have to pick up the cost for managing them, housing them, running the probation systems for them, because the juvenile system is run completely by the counties. And county governments are worried about that, even though they really support taking care of juveniles that way. They want the state government to make sure there's money there to do it. And this is Ms. Diedrich Kasdorf, who is with Wisconsin Counties Association.
If the true purpose of this legislation is to provide treatment and services to 17-year-old offenders, then it only makes sense to provide the funding needed to offer such treatment and services, and we believe a failure to do so will put all other juveniles at risk.
So there's going to be discussion, I think, now as this bill goes forward about whether there is going to be some accommodation made. There's some dispute among the backers of the bill about how much it will actually cost. And if that money can be shifted from somewhere else, then the policy has really strong support.
Well, we have just a minute to go in this segment, Gil. What are you working on today or this week?
Well, I mean, obviously we're going to be looking more carefully at the announcement from Mary Burke. There are some bills coming up this week, sort of in my Department of Criminal Justice. There's a couple of bills that would change the way that concealed carry permits are issued to former law enforcement officers or on-duty law enforcement officers. And there is also going to be another hearing on expanding the speed limit to 70 miles an hour. And those jobs bills that we mentioned earlier, I think, are ones we're going to be focusing on.
We will listen for those reports. Thanks very much, Gil, for being here. Gilman Halstead is Wisconsin Public Radio's criminal justice reporter. We will talk about Citizens United coming up after we check the latest news. This is the Ideas Network.